Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Nice to have you here. You got your whole clan here, huh? Couple rows.
Yeah.
Welcome to Minnesota. Say, I'm glad you guys sat up here because only those with serious problems. That would have told me something about you guys. And I'm seeing who's sitting in back there. Hi, Ivan. Hi, Jim. No more snowbirds back. Today we're celebrating Irene Long's 95th birthday. Today during the worship service, all of our prayers and all of our lessons have to do with being connected. And Irene, you wrote a book, didn't you, Mary? Yeah. This is your day, Irene. In this book, it tells about Irene's life and how things changed, but she ties herself to this church, Bethesda. And there was a time when there weren't any, you know, maybe 8 or 10 people at the most were coming to church. And they were going to close the church. She went door to door, knocking, knocking, knocking. Whenever she needed help, she was connected. She fell on her knees and prayed to God. And then she got off her knees and marched around and connected with people. And you're the perfect servant illustration about us being connected. We're going to talk about being connected today on the net and on the Skype and on the Facebook. And
you're going to hear too much, but
I got to make a point. It's bothering me. When I preach to myself. Anyway, think about being connected, all right, and how we need each other. Think about Irene and how she's been connected to God.
A couple other announcements.
Saturday evening worship services begin this Saturday, opening up. If you're not here next Sunday, be safe.
If you're out on the lake, okay?
Catch a big one. And always remember, there's room for one more fish in the pastor's. The off season, though, when someone brings me a nice big fillet, that's when I start being a little concerned, but I say a prayer for the person and the fish anyway. The other announcement I want to highlight is we'll be receiving new members in 2 Sundays. Associate membership or full membership, you can be a part of our congregation. I'll tell you right now, this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful congregation, and it's a blessing for me to be a part of it. So if you'd like to join us, we're ready for you. Oh, the Nelsons
are back. Good to see you guys too.
Hey, let's greet one another. We got to greet one another. Introduce yourselves to each other.
Okay.
Looks like Alfie's the social guy today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to know you and allow us to grow in our faith in you. We thank you for your connection to us and our connection to you. We pray that that connection might be strong today and in the days ahead. We pray that our hearts and our minds might be open to your guidance and your spirit and your love, and allow us to share that with those we meet these days. Send your spirit now as we gather as brothers and sisters. Allow us to join our hearts in praise for you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our opening hymn this morning is 881. Let's rise during the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
turn to the Thanksgiving for Baptism on page 1 of your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, called forth life into which you took the light. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Today's reading is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. We love God and others because God first loved us. We cannot say we love God, whom we have not seen, while hating fellow Christians, whom we regularly see. Love toward God is to be matched by love towards others because of the essence of God is love. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have made boldness on the day of judgment, because as he, so are we in this world. There is no fear of love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The psalm today is Psalm 22. Please respond in the bold print where you see the bold R. Use the refrain, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, the Lord has acted.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this fifth Sunday of Easter is found in the 15th chapter of St. John. On the night of his arrest, Jesus taught his disciples about the relationship they would have with him. Those who abide in his word and love would bear fruit, for apart from him, they could do nothing. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 789.
Blessed Jesus, you have loved us, love us still.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the question, how connected are you? Remember in the old days, if you were connected, you were able to get front row seats at the Twins game, or who'd want to go there now? But 7-0 last night, one hitter, oh my goodness. Remember what it meant to be connected? You could see the president of the company and get free tickets to the ball or things like that. That was what it meant to be connected. Today, to be connected, to talk to anyone of our younger generation, you got to be a friend, or you got to Twitter, or you got to tweet, or you got to Skype. All new meanings to the word being connected. Used to be who you knew, not what you knew or how you got there. How my daughter was using my wife's computer at the parsonage, and it was so slow, and finally she just raised her hand and says, "This is like living in the 20th century." Oh, boy, oh, boy. Did I feel out of place? I'm living in the 20th century. So the question, are you connected, means different things to different people. There's a danger associated with electronic connectedness, though despite all the hype about being connected through the Internet, a number of studies suggest that this technology is actually disconnecting us from those around us. I've been seeing studies promoted all over the place. I majored in sociology, psychology in college, so I'm naturally attracted to some of this stuff. Study out of Stanford University found that 13% of regular net users, that is those who are on the web 5 hours a week, that's all, 5 hours a week, reported spending less time with family and friends. 8% said they're now attending less social events because they're spending so much time on it. 26% said they talk less to friends and family by the telephone. And that's a little bit disturbing. Being connected to family and friends is what gives life meaning. I mean, I heard a phone going off here during our prayer or something, you know. That never used to happen in the 20th century, to get a phone call during the service. Leave your phones at home. Another prominent researcher noted recently many people have a swarm of friends on Facebook. They call that friending. It's not the same as befriending, being a friend to someone, though. Instead of creating a global village, the Internet has distracted and distanced us from one another, according to this researcher. One impact is that lonely people now have no one to turn to because they don't know their neighbors anymore. Of course, not all or even most of our personal isolation can be blamed on the Internet. You know that and I know that. The average American today already has only a third as many friends as they did 25 years ago. That's what another study says. And one-fourth have no close confidants at all. One-fourth have no friends they can talk to, according to recent research. We're becoming disconnected. We're a disconnected society. A friend of mine, retired recently, teacher up in Winnipeg. Some of you met him on our fishing trip, huh? He's trying to find intimacy in relationships. He says where there's three or four, it usually ends up a debate. You don't ever hear the one-on-one business going on. Good for him. He's trying to find intimacy. He's taking time one-on-one with different people to get to know them, to share, to talk about the deeper meanings of life. But yet, he clicks on www.blc, Bethesda Lutheran Church, Malmo.org. He goes on his net up in Winnipeg on Monday mornings, sits down and gets our website and pushes worship. And he's listening to us tomorrow morning. He doesn't go to church. He says, "I don't have to put anything in the offering plate. Can I say, hi, Bob?" He wants intimacy, but he doesn't go to church. He doesn't sit and have a cup of coffee. They love it when I use their sermon illustrations, my friends. But this is troubling because staying connected is important to our health and to our general well-being. What medical studies are showing us While one study compared 12,000 Japanese people with another 12,000 that had moved to Hawaii and California, they found that they compared smoking, diet, exercise, cholesterol levels, and social support, maintenance of family and community ties. The group that scored lowest was the California group. They found that they had a five-fold increase in heart problems. The researchers concluded that their social networks and close family ties help protect against disease and premature death. Staying connected to other people, the research tells us, and you'll be healthier. And it's not just medical. A British study suggests that social isolation is part responsible for the fact that suicides among young people under the age of 35 have risen at such a dramatic rate they can hardly keep track of it anymore. They studied the lives of the last 148 young people who died of suicide in the UK and natural causes. And what they found was astonishing. Those who killed themselves were more likely living alone, single, unemployed, with few friends. In other words, they were socially isolated. They were disconnected. In his book, Real Age, by Michael Roizen, he calculates how different factors affect one's life expectancy. So here's an illustration. They took, if you're a man, 55 years old, three factors figured into longevity. If you were married, seeing at least six friends a month, and participating in a social group, a 55-year-old man actually lived, was the age of a 46-year-old fellow. If you were married, member of a social organization, and seeing at least six friends a month, your actual age was 46. And some of you thought that being married caused you to grow old. Not true. Those who didn't do any of those three, who weren't married, sorry, Duane, but you fit the other two. Maybe I should tell you what I found. A 50-year-old man who meets at least two of these criteria, going to church and sees six friends once a month, they are actually 46 years. So you're not so bad. Get married, man. Anybody need a 62-year-old guy? Wonderful. I'll give him a character reference. WWW, BLC, Malmo. But those who didn't have anything, they were actually 8 years older, chronologically. They were 63 rather than 55 if they didn't do any of that. For a 55-year-old woman, the real ages are 49, 53, and 59, if you only had one of those. Presumably, researchers say that women are better at social networking, so they don't have such a wide variety. But you guys, you know, it's good to be married. It's good to be socially active. Good to have friends. Need more evidence? We don't need to go there. We don't need to. Enough. That's my sociologist coming out. Now it's my pastor coming out. Our most important connection is to Christ. In our lesson today, the gospel says to us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear all kinds of fruit. Apart from me, you won't do so good. If you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that's ripped off and thrown in that big pile that needs burning out there. If you remain in me, Jesus says, and I remain in you, ask whatever you wish and you'll be taken care of. I'll give you enough. And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus says. Here's what staying connected is all about. Christianity has two central focal points. Staying connected to God, staying connected to each other. The two focal points of Christianity. And without either of these, we're not whole people. So the question, how connected are you to God and to each other? We lose our heart, we lose our soul when we lose our connection to God. And Jesus would say in another place, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, but you forfeit your soul? We know the answer to that. Lose your connection to God and nothing else you accomplish really will have any meaning in your life. Lose your connection to God and you lose your purpose for being around. So don't lose your connection to God. And if you can keep connected to each other and help each other on the journey and support one another, that's what this congregation has done. You look around, everybody here has helped and been helped, I think. So don't lose your connection to God and don't lose your connection to each other. That's what this lesson's all about. It's important to note that if we lose our connection to God, it won't be God's doing. God's love for us is everlasting and unconditional. He loves you as if you're the only person on the face of the earth. He loves you so much that he would do anything for you. He's always going to be there. That's his connection. I got a couple of grape arbors. Guilty thinking about, should I tell you? How many think I should tell a sheriff's pastoral secret? For the last 4 years, I've shot two grouse off of my grape vines out there. It produces fruit, huh? But these vines are growing. And if you try and, they just are growing all over the place. If you try and pull them off the base, that's the strongest part of a grapevine, is where it's connected. You pull on a tree branch, that's where it's going to break, but not on a grapevine. It'll always break somewhere else. No wonder Christ uses this analogy of a vine and its branches. The strongest place on the grapevine is where the branches are. The strongest place on the grapevine is where the branches are attached to the vine. In other words, you don't have to worry about where that connection to Christ will be broken, at least not on Christ's side. That connection is a powerful, powerful one. One last story. Max Lucado tells about a friend of his named Steve who worked his way through a pharmacy while he was attending college. And he just mostly did delivery stuff. About 50 feet behind the pharmacy, there was a woman who lived by herself. And twice a week, Steve would bring bottles of water to this lady. Now, she could have been hooked up to the city, but you guessed it, she didn't. It would have been cheaper to be hooked up with the city, but the city didn't have someone come to deliver it. She wanted to see Steve twice a week. Are there people in our community who are that lonely? Of course there are. There are children, there are teenagers, there are adults, there are seniors who've somehow become disconnected. Isn't it interesting that when God wanted to save the world, God sent a person, Jesus of Nazareth, God's own son. And he says to us, if you want to find life, be connected to me. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where you and I are connected is the strongest place on the vine. That's the message today. So be connected to God. Be connected to each other. And so I ask you one more time, how connected are you? Something for us to ponder this week as we continue our journey through life. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us all, now and forever. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Some of you don't know what that little box is for. If you've been blessed, God has taken care of you, then you want to do a little bit more for helping each other down the road. Put a little extra in there, okay? One Sunday, I challenged everybody to empty every piece of cash out of their wallets. We won't do that today. You know, you still didn't match me. While they're receiving the offering, been thinking, I see all you retired folks out here, and I've been asking for years, I've been asking the wrong question, how much do you need to retire? And my answer, I know now, is I'll always have enough, and God will never let me starve, and he will never not take care of me, and that's the same with, we'll always have enough, and that's a blessing. Today we're going to sing the offertory, so please rise. We'll sing the Create in Me. Enlivened in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the life of the church, for those in need, and for all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Holy abiding God, breathe your love into your people. By your Spirit, shape us to share your love with one another, so that others see your love and come to know you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Spread your sheltering presence over all new things in your creation. Plants sprouting out of soil, young animals growing stronger. Protect all that is fragile. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Go forth with all missionaries in their work of serving others and sharing the good news of salvation we have in Christ. Make their work both welcomed and welcoming. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Abide with people who feel unloved, who deal with crisis, and who struggle with illness. We especially lift up before you our friends Mel Hammond, Sam Samuelson, and those others who we name in our hearts before you. Surround them with people who will show compassion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Be a steadfast presence for migrant workers, refugees, and all who do not have permanent homes. Guide them, care for them, and give them security. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our families, for the lives you have given to us. You have blessed us far more than we deserve. We especially thank you this day for Irene Long, for your spirit that has lived in her and kept her going. We pray that her spirit and your spirit might continue to move throughout our congregation and our lives. We ask your blessing upon little Grace Ward, who will be baptized this morning. Allow her to grow strong in your kingdom, that her faith might show through her words and through her deeds. Watch over our families this day and our friends, wherever they find themselves. Keep them in your loving care. Giving thanks for the saints who abide with you eternally, we ask you to open us to your presence in our midst until the day when you gather all people into your eternal presence. Hear us, O God. Trusting in your abundant mercy, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray into your care, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And so we gather at this holy table. All are invited to receive the bread and the wine. Jesus, at his Last Supper, gave us his life. He took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in praying the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This morning we will use intinction, so I will hand you the bread. You may dump it either into the white, which is grape juice, or the red, which is the wine. Table is set. Come eat and drink. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 824, "This is My Father's World."